Move here. There's my little disclosure statement. I thought that was supposed to be on our slides. Anyway, I wanted to present an overview of a small survey we did at the district and the local level in terms of schools, and this kind of builds on the transportation and the school, the previous two presentations. We conducted a statewide survey of basically policies and practices addressing walking and biking at all school levels. Just a little bit of background. Most of us are familiar with this, but elementary and middle school children who walk to and from school are more physically active overall versus car riders. And we all know that social environmental changes have limited access to safe places to walk, bike. And neighborhood factors really have, I don't think any question that have contributed to a sharp decline in walk, bike over the decades from 42% to 13% relatively recently. Which may coincide with the last four decades of quadrupling of obesity in elementary age school children. And really my aim is to understand the supports and barriers to walking and biking to school. And through this project, we assessed the attitudes and policies of Maryland school administrators regarding student travel, walking, biking to and from school. And just to kind of give you a little overview of Maryland, this is just kind of a county map. There are 24 districts or counties, 290 high schools, 230 middle schools, 940 elementary schools. And the organization of Maryland Department of Education is more kind of local rule versus a centralized rule. So there's a lot of autonomy given to local districts. So that makes it a little more difficult to do research. You need to go to each district level to get approval, and it's more difficult to do a statewide survey in schools. For instance, we had to, for Montgomery County in particular, we had to submit a completely separate research proposal to just get access to the schools. So just a little overview of the methods. Maryland State Department of Education approval through the head administrator of the state sent a letter to the principals. We received funding through Maryland Department of Transportation and tool design, actually my collaborators and the state bike pedestrian coordinator, Mr. Michael Jackson, who actually kind of spearheaded this. We obtained a master school list. It was really important to collaborate, obviously, with the State Department of Education as we were able to get a master school list from which to select our sample. Our goal was to get a 25% sample, and we did achieve a 23% random sample. And we stratified based on socioeconomic status, geography, in terms of urban, rural, suburban, and population density so that we could get a broad representation of the different types of schools in our state. We had a very short survey. We set up a web-based format. The survey actually took less than 5 minutes. And as I said, we had to obtain district-level approval to contact the school administrators. And ideally, you'd want to have both perspectives of the parents and the administrators, but we thought we had a unique perspective in that we wanted to understand kind of some of the barriers at the district, county level, and at the individual school level at the various levels. Elementary, middle, and high schools. The surveys were conducted via phone. Basically, the administrators were sent a link to our survey, and we followed up via phone. If they didn't complete it online, we followed up with three phone calls. If we had no contact with the schools, we replaced the schools so that we could maintain the 25% sample. We had 60 schools that were replaced after three calls or no contact, very few out-and-out refusals. The survey items, basically, we're looking at existence of policies encouraging or discouraging walk, bike to school, and we wanted to get a handle on specific supportive activities, and we had open-ended items in our survey that got to that. Oh, sorry. The final sample included 311 schools, which was 89% of the original 348. So we closely reached our goal of about 23% of overall schools in the state. So we feel it's pretty representative. Sorry about that. So at the district level, and this is the county level, we surveyed transportation officials, and really the transportation officials are mainly concerned with busing, and they don't seem as concerned about kind of walking, biking issues, but they were the administrators at the district level that were most likely to know if there was any policy at the kind of county level. There were no specific in any district's policies related to walking and biking. They did cite the school busing costs in their wide range. And in our state, usually the rule is if you live a mile or less from school, you're required to find your own transportation, whether it be walk, bike, or parent driving. So there's, again, a wide range of students eligible for busing. We found Safe Routes to School program activities in 17 of the 24 counties in a three-year time window. And we found 58 walk to school day activities in 16 of the counties. And this survey was conducted from January to June of last school year, and it kind of carried over into the summer, as most of these things do. Insights into the school district transportation offices. As I said, all busing decisions are made at the district level, and the purview generally only relates to busing. And local, the school levels are more attuned to the walking and bicycling environments to know whether or not their immediate vicinity is conducive and safe, and also aware of walking and biking conditions are out of the busing and transportation office's control. So I keep going backwards. Most schools neither encouraged or were kind of neutral on this, and in terms of outright prohibiting walking and biking. Few schools require parents to sign permission forms. And also fewer schools had Safe Routes to School programs, and they were more likely in suburban and wealthier communities. And I don't know if that makes sense to you, but maybe Safe Routes to School programs started because they in these communities because it might be easier to get these started with more parent support in suburban locations and wealthier communities, and hopefully move to more disadvantaged communities in the future. Findings at the school level: is walking or biking to school encouraged, discouraged, or prohibited? You can see that the elementary schools were likely to encourage walking and biking versus there's a large group of neutral here. This is the encouraged. Discouraged is a smaller group in terms of there's general support for encouraging this. So specific instances and how it's encouraged, bicycle parking, specific walk to school bike, walk bike to school events, safety events, communications with parents, PTA involvement, pedestrian infrastructure, whether they're good sidewalks locally. And we also found that physical education and wellness programs also encouraged, and PE teachers developed walking programs and walk to school programs, and actually were involved in a lot of the bike pedestrian safety training. In terms of the walkers and bikers, were able to get out of school first. They were the first dismissed, so that was kind of an incentive for a little bit that they were the first dismissed, so there was a little incentive there. So characteristics of the schools, urban, suburban versus rural, that encourage walking and biking, and this is just the percentage of our sample. You can see that rural were less likely, and urban and suburban were about the same. So I think we can increase our efforts in rural communities here. So in terms of level of school, elementary, middle versus high school, maybe it makes sense to you that encouragement might be more in elementary school, but also you might think that elementary schools might not think the kids are savvy enough or it's safe enough for younger children to be walking and biking to school. But this the middle and or the elementary and high schools were more encouraging. And again, by free and reduced lunch, and I apologize, that bottom category should be less than 16%. So the top quartiles are the higher percentage of kids in the school with free and reduced lunch. So this is the top two bars are the lower SES kids versus the bottom two bars are the higher SES schools, not kids, but the schools. So you can see that in the lower SES percentage free lunch, free and reduced lunch schools, there was more encouragement. And you might say, where is that coming from? Maybe these kids have they're less resources as far as driving to school, less vehicle ownership, and that might be investigated further. But the lower SES kids, sample of schools, had higher encouragement. So in terms of discouragement, out and out discouraging or negative, that kind of mirrors the other encouragement where rural was less likely, they were more likely to discourage walking and biking. And again, the same by school level. Elementary schools and middle schools were more likely to discourage versus high school, where perhaps they were more developmentally ready and it was safer for older kids. And again, this lower category is less than 16%. So the schools in the top two quartiles were the highest, and percent free and reduced lunch were significantly less likely to discourage versus the lower. So reasons for discouraging walking and biking, it made sense. A lot of infrastructure issues, sidewalks in particular, difficult crossing conditions. Liability concerns came out, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Traffic, speed, volume, and proximity to highways. So lack of sidewalks and pedestrian paths was the most common, followed by lack of bike lanes and bike paths. And those were by far the overwhelming. And non-infrastructure related, school providing busing to all students, that is usually based on where the students live, so that might be limited in lower SES districts, local, state, and district policy, and as we know, the safety issues, lack of adult supervision and crossing guards, and personal security concerns. And just as a quote from a principal, I'm not in a position to change county policy. Our district would need to work with county state commissioners to provide safe areas before the school district would consider reversing its position for some or all of the schools. So it was a sensitive issue, and the district level didn't see themselves as appropriate to make these decisions for the local schools. And liability concerns were very common, as you can see, at all levels of schools. And we wanted to investigate this further, and they elaborate. We actually identified some schools where liability concerns were more of an issue, and we followed up and called and asked them, really, is this concern based on just basic intuition, common sense, or did you seek legal counsel? And do you regularly seek legal counsel for liability concerns of any kind? So basically, the majority of the respondents said it's common sense. You know, we don't need to seek legal counsel for this issue because kind of the safety issues that we feel we'd be liable if we kind of openly encouraged walking and biking to school. As most people in this area know, that the education and outreach, we're doing this at multiple levels for districts, for schools, and for the general public. We have a Maryland Bike and Pedestrian Action Council that is led by the Maryland Department of Transportation Bike and Ped Coordinator, Mr. Jackson, and we're looking at their Safe Routes to School, as in all states, coordinators and infrastructure investments, and looking at priority and processes. So we're trying to facilitate communication with groups in health, transportation, education, to come across and collaborate to reach common goals. I don't have any live links here, but in terms of resources, maybe you're all familiar with Safe Routes to School resources in terms of toolkit, and also there are policy briefs that Active Living Research through Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has online. There's not a live link here, so I can't click on these, but those are some good resources for you on a practical level, kind of how to. The Safe Routes to School toolkits are really excellent resources. That's all I have.
Time for one quick question. I see a question in the back.
Yeah, I think just for clarification, it seemed like when this slide said that lower income schools were less likely to have state private school programs, but were more likely to encourage
Yeah, I mean, there is kind of a disconnect there. The Safe Routes to School program was less likely to be in lower income schools. I mean, that was just a fact. And I thought the reason would be that maybe Safe Routes to School wanted to start with schools that might be easier to implement this in, and then hopefully later on they will move to kind of more difficult schools. But I mean, they're still encouraging, even though they don't have these programs there. So there does seem to be a disconnect.
It would be interesting if those schools did have access to the
Right. They would even be, yeah. I don't know. Maybe somebody from that group knows more about, you know, kind of how that funding is distributed and the success in different types of schools. Yeah.
And just to clarify as well, the specific study was looking at just initiative, not the actual responses
they're seeing. Right. I mean, we were just looking at the district level and at the school level. The district level didn't really come up with much, but we thought that there might be some policy at kind of overarching that would discourage it, so that would filter down and impact that. So we wanted to kind of start at the top and then look at the administrators at the individual schools. Thank you.
Thank you.